take a picture of this. Oh, take a picture of this.
Picking right up where we left off with Robert Steve, editor of Arizona Highway Magazine, which shouldn't even be a job. It should be a volunteer position.
I've heard that before.
Yes, I think I may have heard that from your father, in fact. But I'm fortunate. It's wonderful to be a part of such a great piece of Arizona history.
We flip forward to page 27. We're talking about the picture with the Navajo girls tending their sheep.
Yeah.
And picking all these out, you had to research all of these, and the story behind the pictures itself really add so much more to each of these pictures.
Yeah, and there are stories behind most of them. You know, Barry was very meticulous about keeping his slides in order and his film in order, but he didn't always have a tremendous amount of information on them. And sometimes he would refer to the subject by one name, and then in another reference would be a different name. So it was a little confusing. But this particular image that you're talking about on page 27, two young Navajo girls with their sheep up on the Navajo Nation. Our editor, Raymond Carlson, had reached out to Barry and said, you know, hey, I'd really like to get a photograph for our December issue of some Navajos, you know, out tending sheep in the snow. And Barry didn't mince words, you know. He probably went, you know, and he got a little surly and says, that never snows up here and what have you. And Barry had was co-owner in a lodge up there, a trading post called the Rainbow Lodge. And so he was up there and woke up the next morning and there was a bunch of snow on the ground. So Barry grabbed his equipment and traipsed down the road and serendipitously ran into these two young girls with their sheep and found that magical photograph. And it's certainly the most famous photograph he ever published in our magazine of his. And the reason it's so famous is because this was the December 1946 cover. That issue of Arizona Highways was the first consumer magazine anywhere that was all color from cover to cover. So there were historically magazines, National Geographic might do 16 pages in color, and we had done color sections, but Arizona Highways, we beat Life magazine and Nat Geo and everybody else. And so it was Barry's photograph that was on the cover of the first all-color magazine in the business.
And this would be more of a question for the Farm Bureau, talking about the history of sheep herding in Arizona. You don't often think of it. We talk about the five C's.
Yeah.
Sheep isn't in one of those.
No, but you know, sheep is the sheep and
we've got Sheep's Crossing. We've got Sheep's Bridge. All of these come from the time that it was a sheep herding state.
Yeah, and there's a lot of history there, and especially on the Navajo Nation, and it's still a huge part of their culture up there and their lifestyle. And
and the garments that they're wearing to protect themselves from the snow are.
Yeah, they're just blankets, basically.
Sheep's wool.
Yeah, sheep's wool.
You can see the final product of these sheep that they're herding.
Yeah, wouldn't you love to know where those blankets are today? But, you know, so that's a story that has certainly a very unique story behind it, that photograph. But, you know, there are other shots in here. We've got a photograph of Rainbow Bridge, which now you access via Lake Powell. There are trails that can take you down there. And
Okay, so the year this was, I never even thought of that looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Powell didn't exist.
That's correct. Yeah.
He didn't boat here. He had to walk here.
Yeah, and so the route to get to Rainbow Bridge came from Barry Goldwater's trading post, Rainbow Lodge, and he was out one day, and there was a gentleman out there, and he was asking directions on how to get to Rainbow Bridge, and the gentleman turned out to be Ansel Adams, who's arguably the most famous landscape photographer of all time. And over the years, Barry Goldwater and Ansel Adams developed a good friendship and had a great mutual respect for each other. And I think Ansel, you know, taught him some things about photography. And Barry, on the other hand, taught him a lot about, you know, how to make photographs up there. And ultimately, the reason Barry Goldwater and a handful of other photographers got such great access was because they respected the people there. And you know, you can't just walk onto the Hopi Nation with a camera or an iPhone and start taking pictures. It's just not something that's acceptable. And but Barry had built such a wonderful relationship with the people of Arizona and the Native community that, you know, they allowed him to come in there with his camera. So I think he shared some of that insight with Ansel Adams.
And I was just looking it up. So Glen Canyon Dam was finished in 63. This is almost 20 years before Lake Powell even existed. I'm going to have to look up a real-time picture of Lake Powell and compare it to Rainbow Bridge because it...
That
water level comes up pretty high, if I remember right.
Well, you know, depending on how high the water is, depends on how long the hike is up from the lake. But,
sure.
Either way, it's a short hike compared to coming in from up above and trekking across the desert and in those rugged conditions up there. But, and that I think is an interesting point, too, about the photography. You know, we talked a little bit about it before the break, but... You know, when you think about men like Barry Goldwater and other photographers, Esther Henderson, and some of these early, landscape photographers, there weren't a lot of roads to get. You know, getting from here to Flagstaff, you had to go up through Wickenburg and go up through Prescott. You know, there was no Interstate 17. And those roads were rugged. You'd blow out tires and what have you. So just getting from point A to point B was a challenge. The equipment was, far more challenging, especially, trying to get enough light into the cameras to make a beautiful landscape photograph. And so, the work that the men and women that made these photographs had to go through was pretty intense.
And the water level, looking at some pictures I just found, probably 25, 30 vertical feet that, if it's not water right now, it's the white scale that's built up that's left from being covered in water.
That was, that was a place that was very special to him. Another photograph that we have in the magazine shows a place called Inscription House. If you go up to Navajo National Monument, which is up in the northern part of the state, there are three ruins there, Batatakin, Keetseal, and Inscription House. And Inscription House used to literally drive right past it. You can see a little bit of a road, and you would drive past that to get to Rainbow Lodge. The National Park Service eventually had to close Inscription House off to public access because it was just crumbling too much. And you can still go to Keetseal and Batatakin. But, to your point, Romy, about how things have changed, this is a site that people used to go visit, and now you can't.
So who would we talk to about the restoration of that? They make products for concrete and earth products that help crystallize and harden that would keep what's left there from crumbling even further.
I think that's the tryptophan talking right now, right? But, yeah, right. So that comes back to the whole purpose of kind of why we're doing this issue is to really preserve this historic record of what Arizona looked like and some of the traditions and cultures of the people that, have called Arizona home for a very long time.
And a lot of these pictures in December's magazine are of the Navajo Nation. And you had mentioned he was a partner at Trading Post up there. That wasn't an area he was born or grew up. What drew him to Navajo Nation?
Like so many, I think, explorers, and he really did have an Indiana Jones spirit. And I think, his mother introduced him to a lot of Arizona, but he was just like Jimmy Stewart. We're going to start seeing that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, right?
No, we're not.
That's not part of the Romero
tradition. Come on, really? Oh, it's a terrific film.
Well,
yes, first 300 times you see it.
but Barry had a little bit of George Bailey in him, I think, too, and he just wanted to get out and explore. And you mentioned in an earlier segment that, he had flown planes in the war, and so he was an avid pilot. So because he had access to a set of wings, he could actually get up there, and he had a airstrip built up at the lodge, so he could actually fly up there. And in the course of his visits up there, he actually discovered an arch in Grand Canyon that had never been documented before. He eventually went back and hiked up to it and ultimately named it for the Cole brothers. He was drawn to the northern part of the state like so many people. The Grand Canyon, famous quote, Barry said, if I ever had a mistress, it would be the Grand Canyon. And, so he was passionate about all of Arizona, but he certainly had a special place in his heart for Hopi, Navajo, and the Grand Canyon.
On page 80, there's an incredible picture of the Apache land in Gila County. I would love to know this creek crossing and what that looks like today. You think there's running water there? I'm pretty sure this had to be after a rain season.
Yeah, exactly. And you know that even today though, that's what a lot of photographers do. They see
they're just waiting.
they're waiting for clouds to roll in or a storm to hit or you know that rare snowfall we get down in the Sonoran Desert. And they've all got their cameras kind of queued up. And I suspect Barry was the same way. He was aware of what was happening with the forecast. But that photo is a good example. I mean, we really didn't know anything about it other than what he had scribbled on the slide, and that was the name of it. But even though you don't know all the specifics and all the details, there's still some romance in that, I think, and it lets you just look at the image and kind of, you know, go back to a simpler time and think about life, you know, in Arizona back in the 1930s and 40s.
Now, is this just an ignorant bonehead discovery I made today when I Circa. I asked you, what is those Circa next to all these? Is this a type of photography? Is that it's got a little bit more of an orange tint. So I thought, well, it must not be black and white. It must be the name for this orange type.
Yeah, right. You know, and that's a great point. You'll see Circa, C-I-R-C-A, throughout the issue because it means an approximate date, right? So circa 1950 could be 1946 or 1954. And with a lot of these images, we're sort of taking a guess at when they were made. And, you know, because we know from his journals where he was at different points in his life. And so we can zero in on that, but can't always put an exact date on every image.
When you look back and we're looking over time, and I mean, these are pictures that are dating back 80 years, and the amount of people that have come and gone in Arizona and the stories that have happened and the developments. When you look back at the Indian ruins, you can see the true craftsmanship that was there. When you look at these old pictures of Barry, you can see the skill he had in photography. But the real measurement of how good a photographer was is what other photographers say about his work.
Yeah, and that's a good point. We actually reached out to a lot of our contemporary photographers, and we actually sent them specific images asking sort of to critique that particular image. And you know, especially with the black and white photography, his imagery is really quite timeless. I mean, it's, again, they had a lot more challenges with the technology of cameras back then in terms of getting enough light in. And so you had to sometimes shoot in the middle of the day, which is the worst time of day to shoot, but in order to get enough light in. And his work holds up, that's for sure.
And who is Paul Marco?
Paul Marco is one of our regular contributors. His father was a long time. He was sort of the photographer in Phoenix in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. So Paul's a second generation, very talented photographer that we're privileged to have on our team today.
And he's got a very nice dedication to Barry Goldwater's work on page 77, where he just talks about how easy we have it today, mm-hmm. how hard it was back then, and what he was still able to produce with the limited resources
right.
and technology that we just take for granted.
Yeah, you know, digital, you can go take 20,000 images if you want, but back then you couldn't do that.
Talking with Robert Steve, editor of Arizona Highways, covering December's issue, all about the photography work of the late Senator Barry Goldwater.
Thanks so much.